is K-A-Y-T, Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. K-A-Y-T. Praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
I've got to give you a word that you hold onto what you got. I can't have you. It would be irresponsible of me to let you leave out here off emotion and you have no meat on your bones. So I must do and give this word to you. We won't hold you long, but I must give you this word that you may hold on to what you got, that you'll know what you're shouting about. Isn't that good? Ain't you tired of empty worship, empty praise, everything based on your feelings? God has called us to live by faith and not live by our feelings. Amen. God bless you. Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, there's a word the Holy Spirit has led us to. We've been wrestling with this passage and to see what God wants to say to his people. So we're going to let the Holy Ghost be the preacher. And we're going to hear what God has to say to our hearts and our minds concerning our walk with him. Amen. Thank God for our music ministry blessing us in a mighty way on this morning. St. Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. Amen. Beginning at verse number 1, you'll find these words written thusly. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. In other words, they ain't say nothing. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. The grass withers and the flowers fade thereof. The word of our God shall last and stand forever. The word of God for the people of God. Amen. I want to tag this text, I'm stretching for a blessing. I'm stretching for a blessing. Will you be so kind to me today and look to a neighbor? You ain't got to take your mask off. You ain't got to touch him. Say, neighbor, pardon my progress, but I'm stretching for a blessing. Now, come on, praise God. He's getting ready to tell you on today. I'm stretching for a blessing. Stretching. Any of us who are familiar with a body knows what stretching involves. Stretching is personal. Stretching is purposeful. But the issue you and I have is that often stretching is painful. But there are so many health benefits to stretching. Stretching is good for your circulation. Stretching is good to burn calories. It's good for pre and post workouts, strenuous exercise. They tell you to stretch before and after that your muscles will be able to recover and be functional, fully functional as you stretch. And so stretching involves some temporary discomfort so that you may have a more permanent comfort. It involves you getting out of what you're stuck in and being able to stretch and be able to extend yourself in a manner that you have not been accustomed to that particular day, time, and moment. And I believe that if we can stretch physically, I believe that God is even calling for us to stretch spiritually. That many of us, God says, are stuck in our comfort zone. We're stuck in our tradition. Stuck in the way I think it ought to be. Stuck in the way that I think it should be. And we refuse to stretch. Here's the problem. When you walk and don't stretch, you get to hurting. You get stiff. when you don't stretch. You get stuck when you don't stretch. You have more pain from not stretching than you would if you were going to stretch in the first place. Because if you're going to stretch yourself, you'll be able to walk functional. May I suggest that some of us spiritually are walking with a limp because we don't want to stretch. We're cumbered in a way because we don't want to stretch. God wants to do more in you, through you, and for you, but many of us are not willing to stretch ourselves. Do you know today that God wants to bless you beyond your own capacity to even fathom or think, that God has so much in store for you that goes beyond what you've been taught by mama and daddy, beyond what people, watch this. Do you know why some of us are stuck and won't stretch? Because we can't see it. But true stretching means that I'm going to extend myself beyond what has ever been seen before. I'm going to stretch my family from where we've never been to what God has called us to be. I'm going to stretch my finances to what God has destined for me to stretch them. I'm going to stretch my community to a place that's uncharted territory, but you got to be willing to stretch yourself. May I say something to you today and hurt your feelings? You're one reach away. I don't know who I came to preach to this morning, but somebody is one reach away from unlocking the door to your destiny. And you got to stop letting fear. This is why I come to challenge today. I come to challenge those spirits of fear, pride, hardness, silliness, tradition, never been done before, color, creed, denomination. We come today to see what God has in store for us. And I don't know about you, but I've got to make up in myself. I can't speak for you, and you can't speak for me. But as for me and my house, we're going to stretch for that blessing today. I'm not going to be limited anymore. I'm going to take the lid off of my God and see what God has in store for his child. If God can put wetness in water, he can pay your bill. If God can put the sweetness in sugar, he can take care of your situation. I believe that we'll just stretch to God. We'll see things we've never seen before. Only God, ladies and gentlemen, can make salt and sugar look the same but taste different. It's because of the power God has that you and I do not have, but you and I have got to be willing to stretch for the blessing. Some blessings, y'all, ain't going to come knocking at your door. Some blessings ain't going to come and just overtake you. Sometimes you got to go through that blessing. It does have your name on it. I understand what Norman Hushin's saying. God's got a blessing with your name on it. But when God call your name, least you can do is say, here, present, I want it, I'm going to get it. I'm not going to be lazy. I'm not going to be silly. Watch this. I don't care if haters are around me. I don't care if jealous folks are around me. You don't know the hell I've been through. You don't know my story. So keep talking about my glory. I'm stretching for my blessing. Tell somebody, I want it. Come on, tell them, I want it. I want it. I want it. It cost me my life for this. It cost me my pain for this. I want my blessing. I want my miracle. I want my deliverance. Come on, tell them, I want it. 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 Watch this. In our text, y'all, Jesus' Bible says he's entering again into a synagogue. Jesus has gotten himself in trouble with Pharisees and these legalist people in the synagogue. Let me just build it. I'm going to move on. He has been in trouble concerning the Sabbath day. In chapter 2, Jesus says, y'all, because his disciples were eating some corn, and they got mad because his disciples didn't have any business, according to Jewish tradition, getting corn, shucking it, and eating it. Looked like work. And how are you going to be the savior of the world, and you got folk working on the Sabbath day? And Jesus says, y'all got this thing twisted. He says in 1 Samuel 21, David did the same thing when it came to the priests. He says, now y'all, so he says to you, he says that Sabbath was made for man. Man wasn't made for Sabbath. You got this thing twisted. Jesus says to them, not us. Now if that's you, take it. But Jesus says to these critics, he says, the Sabbath was made for man. We weren't made for the Sabbath. He says, first of all, you don't know who you're talking to because I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. He says, how you going to tell me about my will?
How you going to tell me about my business? And so Jesus says, let me go and make this thing practical. Watch what's going to happen. Jesus is getting ready. This is what I love about my God. Because in this season, what's going to happen right now in your life, Jesus is going to use your physical to heal the spiritual. Because many of us are not as mature as we need to be. And so all we can identify with is the physical world to be able to show a greater meaning to what's going on with us spiritually. So watch this. In the text, you got a man who's in the synagogue, who comes to church, who comes to worship with a withered hand. His hand is withered. It means it's dried up, shriveled up, weak, and hidden. I'm going to try that again. This man shows up to the synagogue with a withered hand. It's dried up. It's shriveled up. It's weak, and it's hidden. That's his physical condition. He comes to worship. He comes to the synagogue with a physical condition. I don't believe that man is alone, because some of us this morning have come to the house of God with one issue or another. Big Mama said, if it ain't one thing, it's another. It may be hidden, but you got it. You ain't told nobody, but you feel it. You've been dealing with it all week long, but here is the shout. He still came to church. Y'all missed it. You missed it. Here's what this man gonna get some of us in trouble with. This man got a problem and still came to church. His life ain't together, and he still came to church. I ain't making this up. Bible says he came to the synagogue with a withered hand. All right. Now, here it is. Here's the problem he has. He's hiding it. He showed up, but that's only half the battle, because he got a problem that he needs fixing. Can I be a little nosy? Anybody else in the house besides me and the man here in the text got some problems that you need some help with? You don't mind people knowing. Watch out now, because somebody see your hand. Somebody see your hand lifted. Somebody go start talking about you. If you admit the fact you got some problems, because I thought church folk ain't supposed to have no problem. You pray every day. What you mean your back hurt? You read your Bible every day. What you mean your money done got funny? Oh, okay, so we all in good company then, huh? This man has a withered hand, but watch this. That ain't the real problem. Here's what the Lord's going to help. The Lord's about to deal with the withered hearts. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. You got a man with a physical thing that everybody sees. His hand is withered. But he's in a synagogue with folk who have physical looking good, but on the inside, their hearts are as withered internally as his hand is externally. They got dried up worship. They got shrunken religion. They don't praise God like they ought to. They don't give him no glory. They've been in church an hour and 20 minutes, ain't said good morning, ain't smiled, ain't lifted their hand. Dried up, shriveled up, withered hearts. Now, I'm not saying that's going on here at 430 West Jones Street, Winfield, Louisiana, 71483, but I'm just talking about Mark 3. You had folk in the house with withered hearts. Because every time Jesus showed up, they had something to say. We just had an hour worth of worship, and instead of participating, I said I wasn't going to do it, but I got to go and do it. You had folk, instead of participating, they spectated, saying they don't take all that. Why don't she sit out? Why don't they hush? I ain't come for this. I ain't want to hear all that. Withered hearts! God set us up, man. I ain't do this. God set us up. God exposed withered hearts, because they got something to say about folk praising God with a withered hand. You don't know the hell some of these folk done been through. You don't know how much it took them to get to the house of God. You don't know why they shouting. There's a story behind their praise. And so Jesus is going to come in here and tap the whole thing. He go minister to a withered hand and challenge withered hearts. Ooh. Ooh. Here it is, church. Let me go and give you the end before I get to it. You got to watch not just how God bless you. What's your response when he heals somebody else? Can you handle God healing somebody else from the very thing you need him to heal you? man, you done got in trouble, boy. Withered hearts in the house. So when Jesus comes into the synagogue, the critics watch him. I'm in the text. Text says they just watching Jesus. They giving him their undivided attention. A word to the wise. Don't confuse attention for intention. Stacy, I'm preaching good yet. Some people pay attention but have evil intention. That was good. Tasted good to me. Because some folk looking for the wrong reason. But if you don't have any spiritual discernment, you think they paying godly attention. Some folk watching you not to see what God bless you. They watching to see what they can bring against you. That's why they can't stop watching you. I'll always feel like. I ain't gonna do it. Y'all can't handle real. They watching Jesus and not paying attention to this brother with a withered hand. But Jesus comes into the church and ignores them and pay attention to the man with the withered hand. I love it. Watch this. They looking at Jesus. Jesus ain't looking at them. Because folk who don't come with the right intentions don't deserve Jesus' attention. Maybe you ain't got your blessing yet because your intentions ain't right. Watch this. Free the house. It ain't always the pastor. It ain't the deacon. It ain't the church division. It ain't the church hurt. It's your intentions when you come. Because some of us come for position, not power. Yeah. We come for religion, not relationship. And even though you got folk food, you ain't got the Lord food. Because he knows our real intention. Did you know what hurt me, Bruce, man, when I growing up in church? All these folks you saw tearing up pews and jumping and spitting and slobbering. They told us it was the Holy Ghost, didn't they, Bruce? You know what happened, Bruce? You mess around and keep living? Because they told us keep living. Keep living, don't die. And you start seeing, you ain't mean God no good. That wasn't no spirit. That was that devil in you. Some folk do stuff to get his attention. But their intentions ain't changed. I better get back to praising. Because God might get us in some trouble here in just a minute. In the midst of this setting, Jesus comes to the synagogue again, to a church full of folk who don't want him. Lord, now watch this. Jesus shows up again to a place that rejects him. Jesus shows up again to heal in the midst of folk who don't want him doing anything. To me, that sounds like grace. When God is going to show up and give you and I some stuff that you and I don't deserve. And if people had their way, you and I would not be enjoying what we're enjoying now. But thank God he came again. Y'all missed the text. The text says Jesus came again to the synagogue. He didn't have to go back in there because they've been talking so stupid, talking so foolish. He knows their intentions. But thanks be to God, if I were to correctly assess this text, Jesus showed up despite them for one man. And one man go expose the rest of them. What if I were to tell you this morning that while you got your mouth stuck out, your arms folded, confused and disturbed, the Lord showed up here just for you? What if I were to tell you that this is a divine appointment on your life? that you're not just here by accident or incident, that God has presupposed this moment and pre-purposed this moment for you to be in his presence to say, it don't matter what they do, I came for you. That y'all missed your shout. I don't care who's fighting. I don't care who arguing. I don't care who into it. I don't care who got mess going. I came for Jesus, and Jesus came for me. And while y'all fighting, and while y'all fussing, and while y'all arguing, and y'all having meetings, and you're looking crazy, he done healed me. He done delivered me. He done restored me. He done saved me. He done blessed me. Watch this. Y'all missed the shout. I ain't preached yet. You missed the shout. Jesus showed up to a messy church. He did not show up to a perfect church. So what are you waiting on before you come to it? If it's good enough for the Lord to show up, how dare you look down your nose at people who messed up, jacked up, tore up? We all need the Savior. And he showed up anyway.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. My soul done got happy.
Because he don't need the church to be perfect to come tear it up. Maybe the more foolish it get, the more it's going to take the Lord to show up and show how foolish it is. But watch this. They still was foolish. He kept on ministering.
It got quiet then.
While you caught up worrying about this or that and this color and that color and who tell me do this and who tell me that, he healing, saving, delivering, restoring. Some folk don't come for you.
I know I hurt your feelings right there, because you go through a lot of work to look cute and pretty for people on Sunday morning, but everybody don't come to look at you.
Some people just try to find the best clean thing they can find and try to look presentable and match it up. And they want to go give God the best they got because they need to see the Lord. And they don't care what you say about what they got on or how they looking. They come for the Lord.
You looking down your nose, they on their knees.
Lord. You looking at folk conduct, he looking at their character.
Lord have mercy.
I want to just minister, but I got to preach. I'm called to preach. I really want to minister to this house. Because y'all waiting on conditions before you stretch. You got to be willing to stretch in the midst of foolish people. All right, here it is. This is the season of God blessing you in the midst of wolves. Stop waiting on wolves to leave before you stretch. If they weren't here, I could just feel better. God ain't called you to feel better. Stretch yourself. Because you're the very one God wants to show his glory and power in their presence.
Here it is. Here it is. If you go stretch, though, because this man is got a withered hand. And this is what I love about the text, another aspect I love of this text, because the man got a withered hand. Jesus sees him. The man sees Jesus. Now, don't you do this, what this man did, because this man didn't ask Jesus to heal him. I'm in the text. At no point did he say, Master, heal me. Master, restore me. Father, forgive me. He just showed up. So what does that say? That gives you some, that tells you more about grace and mercy on your life. Because sometimes you think you using God, God sometimes using you. Watch this. I told you this thing was not about just the man with the withered hand. It was exposed folk with withered hearts. And what better way to show forth what's wrong with you on the inside? I'm going to bless somebody you can't stand on the outside. Y'all, I ain't making this up. It's right here in the text. And he says, I'm going to expose them by healing you. I know you ain't asked. I'm going to use you anyway. I'm going to use the mess you won't even show me or them and deliver you in their presence. And they ain't got but one or two choices, get right or get gone.
if you're going to do that, here it is. You got the withered hand, the man. The man has the withered hand, and Jesus says to him, stand forth. That means, number one, you got to respond to the call of Christ. You got to respond to the call of Christ. Christ, the Lord, gives us his word daily. On Wednesdays, we get his word. On Sundays, we get his word. What is your response? Now, before you start saying, well, I do be saying amen. I do shout. I do take notes. I always look to see what Sister Lakina puts on Facebook to get the points. Even if I miss the message, I check on there for the points. So I can take notes of the points from the lesson or from the sermon. Let me get in trouble. I love y'all, even though y'all don't like me right now. I love y'all. A response is not the shout. Now, in church, we love the amens because we're built based on the call and response aspect. That's everything about our church. Then when a preacher say it, you ought to give some response. All right? Anybody say something? God is good. All the time. That's call and response. Now, sometimes it's response when somebody tell you the truth. Stop lying. You don't say nothing. That's a response. When they tell us the truth, right? Okay, but watch this. That's just one aspect of response. A true response to the call of Christ is you obeying what he said. We got cabinets filled with notes from Bible studies we ain't applied yet. Now, here's what's funny about us. I remember you preached that about 5 or 6 years ago. You changed anything? No, sir. Why you think I'm preaching it again? You can't solve equations till you learn how to count. God ain't finna give you certain things about destiny and fulfilling purpose and promises, and you can't even forgive folk. You want God to enlarge your territory, and you can't handle your household. There are steps to this, and God gives us word for us to apply and obey to apply to our lives to make our lives richer. One thing you learn about God, he don't let you skip steps, do he? He always brings to your remembrance that which you have not been doing. You keep telling him what you do. He tells you, yeah, but what about that? You swept it on the rug 20 years ago. And because you don't have to see him, you feel like you've forgiven him. So God allow him to pass your, cross your path at Walmart. And your whole day is shot. Because God brings back to you that you need to release that. But it was Monday when that happened. Sunday, you shut down on a word that told you, let folk go. Because you feel like because you ain't had an issue with nobody lately, you don't have an issue. Because you have a withered heart. It's dried up on the inside. Problem is, nobody can see that you're drying up on the inside. They can only deal with whether or not you can respond to the word of God. Watch what Jesus told this man. Stand forth. I'll wait until y'all get it. Jesus didn't do like we do. Introduction, 3 points, a close, and a hoop. Jesus told a man with the withered hand, you messed up, stand up. Try again. In order for me to heal what's wrong with you, I need you to heal what's really wrong with you. Because your problem ain't your hand, your problem is people. And until you can get past people, I can't heal your hand. Because the people with the withered hearts have hurt your heart. And you have not gotten over the hurt that they hurt to your heart. So you won't even show what's wrong with you in the presence of people who broke your heart. So I just go to my prayer closet and try to get all this done at home. Look what the Lord, look how messy Jesus is. Jesus told him, don't wait, don't come here, let's go outside. Let's go to my office and talk. Jesus said, you want it? You want to stretch? Stand up first. Y'all think I make it up. Let's go in the Bible. And he said to the man which had the withered hand, verse 3, stand forth. Watch this. He did not tell the folks, get out. I need me and Mr. Withered Hand, me and him need the church to ourselves. Y'all still with me? We still happy with God? All right. He tells the man who got a problem that you've been hiding and showed up to church. You showed up, but today you showed up. I'm coming to deal with that thing today, Jesus says. And Jesus said, the first thing I want you to do is stand up in the presence of the folk who won't help you. The same folk who have talked about what's wrong with you. Same folk who have not tried to help you get cured. They just laugh at your affliction. Stand forth in their presence. Isn't it interesting the Lord didn't tell him stay seated and stretch? Because taking a stance means that I'm going to stand on your promise. I'm taking some authority. I'm taking some accountability. I'm taking some responsibility for my own blessing. I'm going to take a stand. Because that's the very thing that people don't want you doing, standing. Because standing symbolizes I'm taking a stance someplace. It means watch this. Who got him to stand? Who've been keeping them sitting down. And people will keep you down so you'll never take a stand. They will only highlight what's wrong with you so that you'll never take a stand. Because watch this, if something wrong with his hand, ain't nothing wrong with his legs. Tell your neighbor real quick, because y'all don't want to hear me preach, so preach to your neighbor. And tell your neighbor, neighbor, use what you got till you get something better. Give God a praise for that one right there. Use what you got till you get something better. I may not have my hand right, but I got my legs. I'm going to stand, and I'm going to stretch till he bless me. I may not have a degree, but I got a work ethic. I may not have some. I got a lawnmower. I got a rake if it get too bad. I know how to rake leaves. I know how to pick up trash. I'm going to use what I got so I can get something better. I'm not going to take this lying down. I'm not going to take my family being hungry lying down. I'm not going to take death lying down. I'm not going to take this sickness lying down. I'm going to take a stand. And I know success is coming because the Lord called me to stand. And the Lord will never call you to stand where he ain't going to keep you while you stand. Stand forth. I want to stay there so long, I want to pitch my tent there, but I got to move forward. Because some of us don't understand if you just stand, that's half the battle. There's a sign in the gym in All Hours Fitness saying, you showed up. That's half the battle right there. And most folks just do that. They go in there and walk back out. But at least they went in there. They know what the machines look like. They ain't finna touch none of them. They ain't finna use none of them. But they know, at least they went in there. And pretty soon they keep on going in. They gonna touch something. Standing is the first step, y'all. Take a stand. The Lord calls you. You know the Lord's told you many things over your life. He's told you, stand forth. Let that go. You got to stop waiting on them to leave before you stand. Do you know the power in standing? It's the one thing you were not doing. It's not the one thing you couldn't do. It's the one thing you wouldn't do because of the withered hearts around you. And you let what you think about yourself and what they think about you stop you from standing. Because you got something wrong with you, minister, God, you think you don't deserve better than what you're living. And you show up and won't even ask God, won't even seek God, won't even think God will do it. You don't even have any expectation because you got so much wrong with you. And the people around you, you think they got it together, and you think you need to have certain things in place before God can heal you, before God can bless you. But I come to kill that lie now. The folk you trying to impress are just as jacked up as you are. They just got better makeup. They know what kind of clothes to wear. They know what kind of stuff to say. But all of us are in need of the healing power of the Most High God. Some of us I learned, Bruce. Just because some people knew the 66 books don't mean they ever read one of them. You got to respond to the call of Christ. And secondly, you got to reveal your condition to Christ. You got to reveal. To reveal something means to show something that you once hid. Y'all spared through that. You have to bring forth something that was not once known or shown. Word of God tells you, you got to reveal your condition. Let's go into text. I'm going to bless me. And I'm going to have you bless one another. And he said unto them, because he see how they looking. He said, how they looking? What he got him up for? This man ain't on program. Hey, look, he ain't got your boy standing. He got your boy standing up. So Jesus saw them. He saw them saying it to each other. Do you know even in Mark, and just like now, church folk got their own nonverbal communication? Sister Evans, don't you let me get in trouble today here. Now, you don't be putting that mask on. Now, Sister Evans, tell me stop. Do you know church folk got their own nonverbal communication? Look at your phone. Check your I ain't mean to expose somebody today. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Faithful. God is. See, I came up, you know, that they could, certain grandmothers could sing in the choir. I ain't gonna name no names of certain grandmothers. But certain grandmothers could sit in the choir and give you eye contact and let you know, don't move. Don't think I'm so caught up in this song that I don't see y'all back there with that foolishness. I ain't gonna name no names of certain grandmothers. But there are certain grandmothers that do exist. I ain't gonna say she's sitting on the second pew. I ain't gonna say nothing about that, but I know for myself that there's a way of nonverbal communication, and Jesus saw them communicating without saying anything. You can tell when folk distracted because they ain't responding to the word. Because watch this. Jesus says to the man, stand forth. He's the only one standing. Everybody else sitting down because they're trying to figure out what Jesus is doing. Because Jesus is doing something they ain't authorized. He's doing something they weren't prepared for him to do. He bypassed them while they focused on him. Jesus has nothing to do with your intentions because he knows what his intentions are. toward certain folk. So the Bible says, he looked around about and saw him. I know what y'all hung up on, Jesus said, but y'all ain't telling me. It's the Sabbath. And so Jesus says to him, if you allow me to use common sense, common terms, Jesus says, you'd rather me let somebody die than let them live just because it's the Sabbath? It's more important for y'all to keep a law that's going to oppress people than freeing you from a law that's going to give people life. That's what y'all going to try to tell me in my church. I know we didn't do a motion in a second, but the young man is saved. And you mean to tell me because the young man didn't go through a motion in a second, you going to say he really ain't part of the church, but he a part of the body of Christ? But because he ain't fulfill your requirement, you ain't calling him on the roll? Now, what happens when his name is not on the roll, but it's in the Lamb Book of Life? Your name on the roll, and it ain't on the... because you're trying to keep people bound by your laws and rules. You want me to get in trouble one more time? You know why folks are hung up on rules and laws? Because they don't know the word. And they use what they don't know to keep you bound by what they know. And the moment you start knowing stuff for yourself, you will expose them what they don't know. That's why folks you used to treat as a mentor, now they won't fool with you. Because you tapped into a knowledge that goes beyond what they showed you. You were supposed to be their little underling. You were supposed to be their little hireling. You were supposed to be their little understudy. And God and gave you some revelation about some stuff, and you realize your mentor should have been listening to you. Because they taught you how to do church, but never taught you about Christ. Anybody else got plagued like that in their life? People taught you about church, but never taught you about Christ. They just told you how to clean yourself off outside and never get cleansed internally. All right, so Jesus sees them. He said, what y'all tripping for? He said, I'm really going to make y'all mad now. So he tells the man, he stopped talking to him, and he looks at the man. Stretch forth your hand. Y'all keep looking for deep stuff out of your pastor. I ain't got nothing deep. He told him, stand up. Now stretch forth your hand. Here's where we make it hard. Y'all ready? I need y'all to really hear God right here. Here's where we make it hard. Jesus does not tell him which hand. I need you to really hear what God's saying to y'all. He does not tell him which hand to stretch. It doesn't make sense, and I know I use that term loosely, to stretch forth what's right about you. And keep on hiding what's wrong with you. To me, y'all, it makes good sense. You got the Lord right here in front of you. You got the Lord saying, stretch forth your hand. In other words, show me what's wrong with you. Give it to me what you got. And you go tell him about your praise report, but not about your struggles. Here's the question I got. Who are you saving the struggles for? If you won't give them to him. Oh, you saving them for them. So they'll feel sorry for you. Because some of us have figured out if I show him what's wrong, he might heal it, and I no longer have that excuse to not do any better for myself. Show him what's wrong with you. Stretch forth your hand. It doesn't make good sense to give him the good hand. Give him the withered hand. Y'all read, get your Bible, because y'all keep thinking, where he got that from? Right here, look at it. And when he looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, stretch forth thine hand. Did he say which hand? He said, stretch forth your hand. He didn't even say hands.
hand. Because if you got enough faith to stand, you ought to have enough faith to stretch. Don't get this far and then not going to finish out your blessing. Now, let me minister again. Let me minister. The same folk who talking about you, the same folk got a problem with Jesus, go have a problem with you. And that means you got to be able to, for temporarily, show them you got problems. For a moment, you got to let them know, I'm not perfect either. Y'all see the houses, the cars, the clothes, the creature comforts. Y'all see the cash. Y'all see all that. But y'all don't see this inner pain. And I got to, now watch this. You got to remember whose attention is on you. The Lord's attention is on you. Here's what I've learned to do to get my blessing. Stop paying attention to people and put my attention on the Lord. And whether they laugh or not, when they talk or not, I'm going to still stretch forth and show him I got problems. Stretch forth your hand. He shows him the hand is withered, not the hand is whole. He's not impressed. He already know he got your hand whole. He want to know, do you trust him enough to show them I need the Lord? Get in trouble, Ham. There's some preachers need to stretch their hand today. It's some deacons need to stretch their hand today. It's some men. I bet not do that. It's some men need to stretch their hand. Stop being so macho. Stop being so prideful. And say, Lord, I need you. I'm stretching out everything I got to you. My paycheck to you. My finances to you. My health to you. My mindset to you. My household to you. My children need to see me reaching out to God. Yeah, my wife, they need to see me stretching my hand to God. The family of God needs to see men who don't mind stretching their hands to God. Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, oh, whither shall I go? Where are the men who will no longer go hide what's wrong with them and say, Lord, I need you. I stretch myself. I stretch what's wrong with me. I stretch my flesh. I stretch this pride to you. And stop trying to fool folk like I got it all together. And say, Father, I need you. Because some things a beard can't get us, brothers. Some stuff gray hair can't get us, brothers. Some things muscles can't get us, brothers. Something getting notches on your belt can't get you. You need to stretch and say, God, I need you in the presence of very people who may laugh and mock. Ladies, if you think a man is weak because he cries out before God, you weak and you'll never get a strong man. Because it really takes a strong man to be in the presence of all the stuff we see and still lay out and say, God, I need you to lift me. I can't make it without you. I don't mind my children seeing me. I don't mind women seeing. I need your help. That's a real man. That's a real man who can admit I got problems, but I'm in the right place. Because here's the problem. I don't know if this is the problem for this man, but I know the problem for us men. We stretching it somewhere. Yeah. You're showing it somewhere. We just won't show it to the Lord as if he don't know already. Why we spend all this time fronting the church. Lord, help us today. We gotta respond to the call of Christ. Reveal your condition to Christ. And you'll be able to receive the change from Christ. Bible says, as he stretched, when he stretched, his hand was whole. Watch this. As the other.
Look at it. Look at your text. Play softly for me, Mr. Holmes. And sit this with the Gale. Watch this. It wasn't, Bible doesn't say the hand got better. Look in your text. The text does not say that his hand got better, that his hand improved. Bible says his hand was as whole as the other. In other words, when he stretched, he looked like he'd never been withered before. I believe that that power that is in Mark chapter 3, that same power is available to restore us today. The only difference is, in most cases, this stretching process is not going to be as instantaneous as this text. Because stretching is a process. It's a process of getting from here to there. It's going to take some of us some time. But you want to be able to see that when you look over, look at this situation. What was withered and dried up, shriveled up and weakened looks just like the one that was whole. I got two shouts for you. The first shout is this. While I was struggling with this one, he kept that one. I need somebody to help me praise God for that. That even though I had some jacked up situations in my life, he didn't take everything away. I still had a roof over my head, still had clothes on my back. I was going through some stuff, but I didn't lose everything. I lost some people, but I didn't lose him. And then secondly, I look at both my hands, and now the enemy can't tell what was wrong with me. What they used to use against me, they find no evidence of it because the Lord cleaned me up. What used to be my reality is now my testimony. The Bible says Jesus looked around and he was frustrated. So he's angry. It's the only time we see in New Testament scripture where Jesus was angry because he's looking at folk in the house with hard hearts. And he says, so that I can minister to these hearts, let me go and bless some hands. Instead of leaving the church, he stayed in it. Because Jesus understood, and a few chapters later, he's going to take a stretch. He's going to get on that cross. He's going to stretch out for me and you. For our sins. That we might not go to hell. He took a stretch to bless you and I. At least you and I can do a stretch to him. If you are one today who has not made Jesus your choice, you've been in the synagogue with a withered heart. Today is your day to come to Christ. For real, for real. For real, for real. And I'm not going to let you do this privately. Don't call and text and inbox nobody afterwards. You need to let the same folks saw you cut up. Let the same folks see you come back to Christ. Same folks saw you leak over run with this devil. Need to see you now dance for the Lord. Yeah. Yeah. Part of this stretch is getting past your perception and people's perception of you. May I minister to my house real quick? Y'all gonna let pride kill y'all. Because you don't want certain folk knowing your weakness. If that's you today, you need to take that stretch. All for Christ to you. Baptism, you want to be saved. Bible says that you believe with your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Son of God and God raised him from the dead. He died for our sins. You shall be saved. Perhaps you're saved and you may have fallen astray, left the church, left God's kingdom, left the word. You can come back and touch today and stretch back where you need to be. It's just that simple, y'all. It's just that simple. Today is your day to come. If the Lord spoke to you, you know he spoke to you. What is your response? Take the first step to stretching and stand forth in the presence of people who may have withered hearts. Do you have enough faith in God? Do you have enough faith in God to stand forth in the presence of very people who may not even love God themselves? Who are you? Where are you? My brother and my sister, won't you come today? Glory to God. 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 Are there others today? Are there others? Glory to God. Glory. Stretch. I'm stretching for my blessing. I'm stretching for my blessing. I'm stretching for my blessing. Where are you? Who are you? Where are you today? My brother, my sister, won't you come? It's a stretch I need to make. It may be painful. It may be uncomfortable for a season. But the blessings that come from it are going to be permanent and long-lasting. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Our ministers now coming to minister with them. Will you follow them now? My brothers and my sisters, follow them into the fellowship hall. They will minister to you and will share with you. Are there others? We still make this appeal. Are there others? We just follow them and they will share with you. God bless. Come on, give God praise for these. Come on, give God praise for them. Are there others today? Are there others? Glory. Glory. Are there others? Glory to God. Yes, Lord. Have your way. Yes, Lord. Are there others today? Are there others? You're here. Is he welcome? Now, as they're singing that, we're not talking about the place being this building. We're talking about your heart. So go and tell him now. Put your hand over your heart. Lord, you're welcome. Come on, let him know. In this place, in your heart, Lord, in this place. Yes, Lord. Lord, you are welcome. In this place. Have your way.